Okay, I think we're going to begin. But before we begin, I want to address the 800-pound elephant in the room, the coronavirus. This is not a normal Shabbos Hagadol Drasha. Firstly, it's not Shabbos. It's Thursday night for me, Thursday afternoon for some of you, Thursday morning for others. And we're all being Mechal Shabbos. We're using Zoom, which parenthetically, contrary to some of the press releases you've seen, Zoom is Chil Shabbos on Shabbos and Yontif. I've said it. But truth be told, for the last 3,300 years plus, we've been telling the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, and actually for overwhelming majority of years, when Jews sat at a Seder or at a Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, was under very adverse, unpleasant circumstances. The past 70 years or so has been a bleep on the radar screen. We've been spoiled, but no more. The two viruses that we're dealing with, the virus of Corona and the virus of anti-Semitism, has certainly returned. Someone asked me a few weeks ago, you know, what I really want to know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me. So I said to him, you know, I can't really answer that question, but I think I know one thing. He wants your attention, and he got your attention. And the rest is really up to you. So clearly, I think we have to recalibrate our lives to do the things that Jews are supposed to do all the time. The things that our parents and our grandparents did, the things that their parents and their grandparents before them did. And maybe we haven't lately done them as well as we should have. But the things that Jews do will affect the world. We daven, we keep Shabbos, we make a Seder, we keep Pesach, we do chesed, we help people. And there are people that need our help, and we have to reach out to those people. Even with a mask, you can help people. My favorite childhood heroes wore masks, Zorro and the Lone Ranger. You can help a lot of people, even if you're wearing a mask. I have a granddaughter, I have Baruch Hashem many grandchildren, but I have a granddaughter who, when it was still possible to consider going to her parents for Pesach, for the Seder, before the law said no, and of course she's not going, because she is a law-abiding citizen of Lakewood, New Jersey. But she said to her father, I am not coming for Seder, even if it's allowed. And this is a girl, a young lady who was married a year ago. Because down the pike, when my daughter, my children, Yirtzeh Hashem, and my grandchildren, Yirtzeh Hashem, will ask me, what were you doing? How was Pesach for you during the corona moment? What am I going to tell her? Am I going to tell her I ran to my parents for Seder? No, I'm going to make my own Pesach Seder, because that's what I want to tell my children and my grandchildren. And they're going to ask. They're going to ask 50 years from now and 100 years from now, what are we doing? So I think what we have to do is what Jews do best. We're going to up the quality of all of the above that I mentioned, our davening, our Shabbos, our learning, our Seder, our Pesach. So let's learn a little bit. Let's learn a little bit. Let's have a Shabbos HaGadol Drasha. And it's not the normal Shabbos HaGadol Drasha. As you notice, I'm not wearing a tie. I'm not wearing a suit. And that's okay. Yachatz, the Great Divide. That's our title. Seder memories run deep for everyone. But perhaps the most prominent childhood memory is the moment of Yachatz, breaking the matzah at the beginning of the Seder. All eyes are on Zaidi, Saba, Daddy, Uncle Moish, whoever is leading the Seder, as he performs the fourth ritual in the Seder, Kadesh, Shurchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, breaking the matzah is broken. Divided into two, the middle matzah. Half is placed between the other two matzahs. And then detective life, like all of the eyes, children and former children, follow the deceptive hiding of the matzah, the second half, the bigger half, by the children. It really is, to be honest, one of my foremost memories as a child, and I'm sure for many of you. But really, what is it about? Why ceremoniously break the matzah at the beginning of the Seder? In fact, we'll see that the Rambam does not include this moment in his Seder. Why do we do it? And why do we hide the second half? Some suggest that this is an extension of the theme of Kadesh Yishalu Tinoko, that the children should ask. And in fact, full disclosure, that the Beis Yosef in the Tur mentions three reasons, and this is one of the reasons, one of the halachic reasons for it. But think about that for a moment. As an aside, what does it mean? The child asks, Daddy, Saba, Zaidi, why do you break the matzah? And you answer, excellent question. The answer that the rabbis give is so that you'll ask the question, right? It kind of adds insult to injury, right? But the truth be told, and this is really an aside, there is a great chachma in the direction of Chazal, the rabbis. Kadesh Yishalu Hatinokos. The idea of asking a question is the idea of developing and encouraging independent thinking on the part of the children and adults. Asking questions is the beginning of the process of education. But really, beyond that idea, what exactly is going on here? It seems quite prosaic to include a preparatory act of breaking the matzah, or for that matter, even to say pouring the wine, which we don't do. It's almost like pouring the wine as a central component of the Seder. So we're going to attempt to show that Yachatz is anything but prosaic. Beginning with a brief review of the halachic sources of Yachatz, we'll attempt to demonstrate that there's much more to Yachatz than meets the eye. The broken and hidden matzah promises a very hidden dimension, which we will attempt to flesh out. In fact, it reveals a centerpiece of Jewish life and Torah at large, and as well has a particular meaning for us in these most uncertain and challenging times in Jewish history. So let's look, for those of you who have the sheets, I'm going to refer to the sheets. If you don't have the sheets, it's okay, because I'll say everything out. And if you have the sheets, and you're looking at the number of the sheets and the number of notes on the sheet, you're going to think, well, maybe we're going to get the Shabbos HaGadol, the actual Shabbos HaGadol, but we're not. I'm going to go quickly. Number one and two, a Gemara in Brachas on Daf Lamed Tes and a Gemara in Psachim on Kuf Yud Tesvav in Arvei Psachim. So it tells us that the Gemara says that we take a matzah, we place the broken matzah inside the whole matzah, and the second, the Gemara in Psachim says, Amar Shmuel Lechem Oni Ksiv. Why do we break the matzah? Because it's called Lechem Oni, poor man's bread, right? Lechem She'oni Malav Dvorim. Also, Lechem Oni, the Torah says, it has two meanings. Lechem Oni, poor man's bread, the Oni, the poor man. And Lechem She'onim Alav Dvorim Harbi, that we speak many words. Ma Ani, Shadarko Beprusa, Afkan Beprusa, just like an Ani eats scraps, we have a scrap of matzah. And it's bread upon which we talk out this great moment in Jewish history, the Exodus from Egypt, from slavery to triumph. Already, we can ask a question that there seems to be a tension here. There are two seemingly contradictory emotions, two seemingly contradictory ideas about matzah. One, on the one hand, the tension is that one hand is poverty and slavery, lechem oni, versus freedom, and the luxury of kicking back, sitting back, leaning, haseva at the Seder, drinking wine, cherus, freedom. So there seems to be two conflicting ideas about matzah going on here. Let's go on. The matzah is broken. Number 4 and 5 on the sheets. 4 is our Shulchan Aruch, where our code of Jewish law, our Shulchan Aruch, mentions Vayikach matzah emtzayit. We take the middle matzah, Vayivtza'enu l'shtayim. We break it into 2. 1 half we put back. 1 half we put away for the afikomen. And the other half we put between the 2 whole matzahs. The Mishnah Brura number 5 tells us that just the last few words of the Mishnah Brura. That the matzah that we put away, the piece that we store away, or that the children will eventually hide, is the bigger of the two pieces. What's that all about? So we're developing a number of questions here. Why do we break it at the beginning of the Seder? It seems very technical that it should be part of the official Seder of the Haggadah to break the matzah. Why do we hide the matzah? Why do we put away the middle half? And why the middle matzah? That's really another halacha question which we're going to deal with. We have a concept in halacha called Ein ma'avirin ala mitzvot. You don't pass over on mitzvahs. If you have a mitzvah in front of you, don't say, I'll get back to that mitzvah, I'm going to do another mitzvah. Ein ma'avirin ala mitzvah. We do the mitzvah that is in front of us. Now, the truth be told, as I mentioned earlier, the Rambam has a whole different approach to this. He has only 2, not 3 matzahs. He does not break the matzah at the beginning. We'll come to that later. But let's first try to understand Rashi and Rav Rishonim, the opinion of most of our authorities, as it is codified in the Shulchan Aruch, that we have 3 matzahs, and we break the middle matzah, and we do it at the very beginning, at the get-go. From the get-go, we break the matzah. What's that all about? So numerous suggestions from the commentaries. First, I want to present in number 6. This is the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. The Shulchan Aruch Agriz, the Shulchan Aruch of the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. It is a Shulchan Aruch, even though it is the first Shulchan Aruch of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, it is a Shulchan Aruch of Sefer Halacha that all scholars of Halacha, all poskim, deal with and refer to. And the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says, basically, just a few phrases from inside, you take for that, when you say the Haggadah should be said on a matzah haroi latzeitbo, a matzah that we are fulfilling the mitzvah with. She'onin alav dvarim harbe. What essentially, let me tell you what he says in my own words. Shulchan Aruch HaRav says that you take a matzah, a halachic matzah, he's defining the matzah of the Haggadah has to be a halachic matzah, and he merges both ideas. The idea of lechem oni, of the poor man's matzah, the broken matzah, and it's the lechem she'onin alav dvarim. We have to speak out the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, of telling the story of the Exodus, the Magid, has to be done on a halachic piece of matzah. And the halachic piece of matzah is a broken piece of matzah. Lechem oni, lechem she'oni malav dvorim. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav merges these two seemingly contradictory, and perhaps they are, but he merges them together, the two definitions of matzah, right? Secondly, number 7, you see another, actually a brilliant idea expressed by Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, in the Halicha Shlomo, written by his students, the great Posek, who was Nifter several years ago, Rav Shlomo Zalman, says a brilliant idea. We have a concept in Halacha called Ein Kiddush Ela B'Mokom Suda. Kiddush and Amotzi have to be together. You don't make Kiddush in one place and eat it in another place. This, by the way, is a problem that comes up in our contemporary Jewish life, which right now is on hold. But when we are in shul and there's a kiddush in shul, we make kiddush, we have to be sure to eat some mizonot, to eat some cake. So there's kiddush b'makom suda. And there's a whole question of whether you have to make kiddush again when you get home. So if you get home later, much later, one should make kiddush again. Now, some of my friends out there who are listening to this, I'm sure you have no problem with making kiddush again when you get home, even once or twice or even 3 times. But according to the Vilna Gaon, the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon and the Brisker Rav, they do make kiddush again afterwards. But that's because of the concept of Ein Kiddush Ela B'Mokom Suda. So we have a problem here. We make Kiddush, and an hour or 2 later, however long one Seder goes, we make a Motzi. So there is a break, there's a hefsik between the Kiddush and between the Motzi. How do we solve that problem? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that's the idea of breaking the matzah at the very beginning of the Seder, right after Kiddush. We break the matzah to create a bridge. We bridge the gap between Kiddush and the Suda. It becomes the part of Magid. So there is no break. Kiddush is B'makom Suda. That's what we accomplish by breaking the matzah at this point. Move to number 8 on the sheet. The Meshiv Dover, the Netziv. The Netziv discusses this, why Rashi says to do it at the beginning in a tshuva, and why we make the motzi on a broken matzah much later on. Well, I'm not going to do the Netziv inside, the Meshiv Dover. I refer the Lumdim here to look at the Meshiv Dover. He brings a Mishnah and a Gemara in Bava Kama. It is the genius of the Netziv that he finds a chiddush, a nuance from a sugi in Hilchus Mamonos, in Hilchus Geneva. But I'm just going to tell it to you outside, and something that is palatable for all of us to understand. The matzah for the Lechem Mishnah, because the problem that the Netziv deals with is that we all know that Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos and Yom Tov has to be two whole loaves of bread, or two whole matzahs. So why is it that at the Seder, we have a broken piece? Now for us, we have 2 plus 1, but for the Rambam, as we're going to see in short order, there's only one whole and one broken. How do we understand that? You're supposed to have two whole matzahs for the Seder. So the Netziv basically says in this tshuva that he redefines a whole matzah. He redefines a whole loaf. Wholeness is defined by how one receives it. Since I'm now receiving it, and there is a great divide, a great distance, a purposeful distance between the time we broke it way back then, and now when I am receiving it, this is defined as a whole matzah. And that's not a difficult thing to understand, because truth be told, the regular complete, quote-unquote, whole matzahs that we use, whether we use a square matzah or a round matzah, are broken matzahs. Because in the factory, in the matzah bakery, they're busy kneading the dough, and there's a whole pile of kneaded dough, and they're moving very quickly because it has to be 18 minutes. And the person who is kneading the dough breaks off a piece of dough and throws it to the people that are flattening the matzah into whole our kinds of matzah and putting it on a tray and giving it to the baker, and he's putting it in the oven. But really, every matzah that we have is a broken piece of matzah. It's broken off from the totality of the dough of the matzah. So we receive it as a whole matzah. So too, says the Netziv, the prusa, the broken piece of matzah that we receive, has a definition of whole, because wholeness is defined by when we receive it. Okay? This is Rashi and the Rishonim. This is the opinion of Rav Rishonim. This is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch that we do the matzah at the breaking of the matzah at the beginning. We eat it later. Now, let's go to the Rambam. Number 9 on the sheets, number 9 and 10 is the Rambam in the laws of Chametz and Matzah. And let's see what the Rambam says. First of all, in 9, you make Netilas Yadayim, you said the Seder, you did the Magid, you wash your hands, right? You take, then he says, V'lokeach shnei rakikim, you take two matzahs, Cholek echad mehem, you break one of them. Umaniach parus, you leave it as a broken piece. Latoch shalem, inside the shalem. It's a very strange phrase. You put the broken piece, latoch shalem. So some say it means you put it underneath it, but others say quite literally, you know, Sephardim, many Sephardic communities, and certainly in ancient times, the matzah was like falafel. It was not like our matzah today. And in some communities, that in fact is the matzah. So perhaps that's what the Rambam means when he says you put it toch hashalim, umevorach hamotzim lechem min haaretz. Right. So that now, the Rambam does not. He avoids the whole problem. There's no yachatz. There's no the whole drama of breaking the matzah at the beginning, and the children stealing it, hiding it, putting it under the pillow, as the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah had mentioned, and the children come and take it and hide it. That whole drama doesn't exist for the Rambam. He breaks it at the time of Motzi. So why is that? So let's look, we'll answer that question in a moment, but let's see the next Rambam. Number 10, here the Rambam goes to the end of the Suda, the end of eating the meal of Shulchan Aruch at the Seder. And he says, what do you do at that time when you finish? Well, you take the matzah, you take the two matzahs, you take ubizman, what you do is you eat the korban pesach. But for us, ubizman hazeh, the second line in the Hebrew, ubizman hazeh, ochel kezayit matzah. You eat a piece of matzah, a kezayit, a minimum amount of matzah. In English, right? At present, one eats a kezayit of matzah and does not taste anything afterwards. Okay? So in both halacha, Vav and halacha test, these are the two halachas in the Rambam, you know, there's no drama here. You don't, number one, hide the matzah and then have a conversation and negotiate with the children and get the matzah back. Number two, by the afikoman, you just eat it. It's dafka by the eating. What's the pshat? So if you look in number 11, this is the Haggadah HaGershuni. Haggadah HaGershuni was a great grandson of the Chofetz Chaim. His grandfather was Rav Mendel Zaks. Actually, his father was Rav Mendel Zaks. His grandfather was the Rosh Kolil in Radin, Rosh Yeshiva, the Kolil Kachim by the Chofetz Chaim. And he says in the Haggadah something very nice. He says that you break the matzah at the time you eat the motzi and at the time you eat the afikoman, because breaking the matzah is purely a function of eating the matzah. Of eating the matzah's mitzvah at the beginning or eating the matzah's mitzvah of the afikoman, right? By the way, the bigger half, you know, I should say in full interest of full disclosure, the Beis Yosef brings three reasons why the matzah has to be the bigger one that we put away, very halachic reason. One of them is because the essential mitzvah of matzah is the afikoman, and many people eat two kezesim. They eat two, a double amount of matzah at the time of the afikoman. But that's the Beis Yosef, but that's difficult for us to fully understand because that's only enough for one person, for the leader of the Seder. They're certainly going to have to add matzah for all of us. But in any event, the Rambam breaks the matzah at the time he eats the matzah at the beginning by motzi. He breaks the matzah by the afikoman because the broken piece of matzah is a function of eating the matzah. Why? Why is that? Why is the parus, the broken piece of matzah, a function of eating, not a function of the Seder? So for that, I want to share with you a number of thoughts from Rav Soloveitchik. First of all, he presents this idea of Rav Soloveitchik is brought in the Sefer Harei Keden from a kind of mechutin of mine, Rav Michal, and he brings this comment of Rav Soloveitchik and it gets better and better. He disagrees. Rabbi Soloveitchik disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, with the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. Now, this is not a political statement that Rabbi Soloveitchik disagrees with the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, right? But he disagrees halachically with his opinion. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav said that we do it at the beginning because we merge the two concepts of lechem oni, the poor man's bread, and lechem she'oni melav dvorim, the bread upon which we say the Seder. Rabbi Soloveitchik says no. These two ideas of lechem oni, poor man's bread, the broken piece of matzah, and lechem she'oni melav dvorim, are not one idea. They are two separate components of matzah, two separate and very different ideas that are expressed and defined and executed at two different moments of the Seder. Right? Number one, two dinim, classic Brisker idea presented by Rav Soloveitchik. First of all, lechem oni. We say that lechem oni is poor man's bread. Matzah is poor man's bread. What does that mean, poor man's bread? That's what a poor man eats. It's about eating. That a poor man eats scraps. So lechem oni is a function of hamotzi and the afikoman. It's a function of the moment of achila, the moment of eating. And that's why the Rambam holds that it's not no geya until then. Because lechem oni does not apply at the beginning of the Seder. It only applies when you eat the matzah at the motzi and when you eat the matzah at the tzafon. Lechem she'oni malav dvorim, however. The idea that matzah is lechem she'oni malav dvorim. You pick up the Seder plate for everybody. During the Seder, she'oni malav dvorim, with the whole matzah sitting there, the sipur yitziat Mitzrayim, the magid, speaking about the triumph of the Exodus, that we eventually become free. This is about the wholeness of the matzah. It's another dimension, right? For Rav Soloveitchik, there's a progression here of Mitzvah Matzah. The Rambam, in fact, quotes this Gemara, that the Gemara says in Psachim that the wife needs the dough, the husband bakes it. It's a progression. You knead the dough, you bake the dough, you have the matzahs, and then you speak about the matzahs, and then you break the matzah, then you eat the matzah. It's two dimensions which come together eventually, but it's two separate dimensions. The lechem she'onim alav dvorim, you speak about the matzah, the whole matzah in front of you, and eventually you break it. Eventually it's the poor man, becomes the poor man's matzah, right? Question. According to Rabbi Soloveitchik, does the Rambam have a yachatz? We haven't seen a yachatz moment, right? We haven't seen a yachatz yet by the Rambam. Now here is a stunning chiddush of Rabbi Soloveitchik, and it's number 12 on your sheet. It's another Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel, right at the beginning of this, near the beginning of the Seder. Tzarech la'asot shinui b'layla hazeh, kedei sheyiru habanim. You have to make changes, do things that we mentioned earlier in our preamble. You have to do things at the beginning of the Seder so the children will be inquisitive, right? Now, just go to the English. You make some changes for the children. What changes should be made? Matzah should be snatched from each other, right? And say in the Hebrew, chotvin matzah zeh miyad zeh. You're chotvin et hamatzah. You're chotvin es hamatzah. Now, what does that phrase mean? Chotvin, now there's a translation here. This translation is not really precise. It kind of captures and encapsulates one dimension of chotvin, but there's more to chotvin. In Lashon Kodesh, in proper Hebrew, in Lashon Kodesh, the word chotvin, chotev, has two very different meanings. On the one hand, it means to snatch. It means to abduct. But it also means to be quick. Something, a sudden movement. To move with alacrity, with quickness, with speed. In fact, the Miri uses this first definition to snatch, steal, to take, to abduct. This is the origin, says the Miri, one of our Rishonim. This is the origin of our mitzvah today, our minhag today, I should say, where there's a whole dialogue and drama acted out between the parents and the children, and the children steal the Haggadah, steal the Afikoman, and they come back, and we negotiate the return of the Afikoman. This is based on this is a Gemara, and the Rambam brings it la'aloch of chotvin at hamatzot. We're chotev the matzot, we steal the matzot. But the Ravid uses the other translation of chotvin es hamatzot. You have to be quick. One should hurry up the Seder, should say the Seder, should move the Seder along. Kedei, sheyiru atinom, so the children would stay awake. You shouldn't spend a lot of time. You want to spend a lot of time and impress everybody with all of your questions and your answers. Wait till afterwards. Put the children to bed after benching this all night. Mitzvah laharbos, sipri tzis mitzrayim, kol halayla. All night you can sit and talk. But according to the Ravid, move it along. That's what chotef means. How does the Rambam understand chotefism? This is a mistake. The translation is imprecise on this English translation. Look at the Rambam carefully. Chotvin matzah zeh, miyad zeh. You pass the matzah from one hand to the other hand. Right? What is the Rambam, Rabbi Soloveitchik asked, what do you have to say? Chotvin matzah zeh, miyad zeh. Just say, chotvin matzah mizeh lezeh. Right? You can get away with that in Hebrew. Chotzin matzah mizeh lezeh. Just hand matzah to each other, right? One person should hand the matzah maybe, but no. The Rambam is saying something very precise. Chotzin matzah miyad zeh lezeh. You know what he's saying? You know the minhag of Sephardic Jews is to put a piece of matzah on the shoulder and to walk around the Seder table. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, what the Rambam is advocating, chotzin matzah miyad zeh lezeh, is that everyone should pass, parents and children should be passing a piece of matzah from one to the other. Passing matzah from one to the other. Very similar to the minhag of lekach that many Hasidic Jews have before Yom Kippur. Okay, some of you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to describe it. But the idea of passing the matzah from parents to children, passing it around, invariably, comments Rabbi Soloveitchik, inevitably and invariably, the matzah is going to be broken into pieces. That exercise of passing the matzah around, we're going to break the matzah. It's going to break into pieces. That is the yachatz of Rabbi Soloveitchik. Now, if you'll permit me a little bit of chutzpah, let me offer two rabbinic PSs on the comment of the Rav, of Rabbi Soloveitchik. So I want to suggest that perhaps what he's saying is relating to the fact that the entire Seder is a concretization of philosophical and historical ideas and moments in Toldos Am Yisrael and Jewish history. It was bitter in Egypt. So because it was bitter, we eat maror. We eat bitter herbs, right? Handing the matzah to our children, passing the matzah around, is quite literally handing over our Mesorah from door to door, from generation to the other. It's passing from one generation to the next. We're passing, we're actually physically doing the idea of the Mesorah, connecting all of us. Chayiv Adam Liros HaSatzma, we have to feel it. Secondly, what is very unique about this idea that Rabbi Soloveitchik is saying is that everyone is performing a yachatz. Yachatz is not performed by one person, by the leader of the Seder, but yachatz, breaking the matzah, is done essentially by everyone. We're going to come back to this in a moment, but there's just one more halachic issue that we have to attempt to resolve. And that's going to lead us out of the halacha and into the hashkafa. Out of, as someone once said, the prose and into the poetry. What about the problem of Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvah? We take the middle matzah. That's what we do. We break the middle matzah. One more halachic idea. Why is it that we break the middle matzah? We have a concept, Ein Ma'aviren Ala Mitzvah. You do not pass over mitzvah. I'll give you a simple example. Someone, lo aleinu, a doctor has to visit an emergency ward that is set up for the coronavirus. And he comes into the ward and there's beds all over. And he sees a relative. He sees a relative in the 10th bed. Who does he go to first, right? Ein ma'avir nala mitzvah. He goes to the first person, the first bed, the first chola. He has to deal with it. That's halacha psuka in the Igros Moshe, or Moshe Feinstein paskins that for a doctor in the hospital. Ein ma'avir nala mitzvah. So how is it that we go to the middle matzah? How is it that we don't take the top matzah? We take the middle matzah. And in fact, it is a machlokas rishonim. According to the smag and the rokeach, you do take the top matzah. According to the Rosh and the Mordechai, we take the middle matzah. And we paskin, our Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Mordechai. And the Bach, which I'm not going to go into inside, the Lomdim are welcome to go and see the Bach in full inside. I really don't have the whole thing here, are attempting to support and defend the Mordechai. But if you look at the Mordechai, he needs no defense. And herein is the watershed moment of our drasha and our discussion of Yachat. Mordechai, quoting Rabbeinu Avi Ezri, Kosef Shabot Sei, this is number 14 on the sheet, and I'll just say it out loud. Bot Sei Ha'em Tzayis, you break the middle matzah. V'shomer Chatzel Afikomen, you have put the other half is put away for Afikomen. V'ha'aleka L'meimar Yivtza Ha'el Yonah Mishum Dein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvot. Don't suggest that you wait a minute. You have to break the top matzah because Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvot. You can't go over, can't bypass mitzvahs. The Ein Mitzvah B'Shvirat Matzah. There's no mitzvah in Yachatz. Yachatz is not a mitzvah. To break the matzah is not a mitzvah. And herein, my friends, in brilliant in simplicity, this extraordinary statement of the Mordechai directs us to a real understanding. Yachatz, if Yachatz is not a mitzvah, this is the unfolding of the great mystery of Yachatz. Yachatz is not a mitzvah. Yachatz is a reenactment. Yachatz is not simply a prosaic preparatory, quaint Seder ritual. Yachatz is a reenactment, not a mitzvah. Yachatz is perhaps the most important act that we're performing at the Seder. Yachatz is the broken matzah divided into two parts, is the totality of the Jewish experience. I've said over many times, the statement of the Kotzker, from Menachem Mendel Mikotz, which he made in a very complicated discussion on Hilchos Tumah and Tahara, that he makes the statement that there is nothing more whole, there is nothing more complete, there's nothing more wholesome, there's nothing more complete than a broken heart. So Yachatz is really at the centerpiece of everything we stand for. I wanted to just spend a few minutes now developing that idea to open up to us what really Yachatz is all about. And I want to take three major Yachatzes in the Torah. And really, Yachatz is all over the place. It's in the Seder also. The Hallel is divided into two, before the meal and after the meal. Bris Milah, the Yachatz, physically, Bris Milah is an act of Yachatz, the covenant in which a Jewish male enters into Klal Yisrael is through Yachatz, through doing a physical division, a Yachatz. Yachatz is all over the place. But I just want to give three major Yachatz experiences, Yachatz moments, and I want to really coin a phrase here, that the Yachatz moment, and it's kind of a first cousin to the Aha moment, but the Yachatz moment, as we will soon see in a minute, is central to all of Yadut, to all of Yiddishkeit, and it begins right at the beginning in Bereshit. Go right to the beginning of the creation of the world. We're on number, I'm losing myself here with my sheets myself. Go to number 16, number 15. Number 15, the creation of the Bereshit chapter, the creation of the world. Creation of the world, Vayar Elokim es ha'or ki tov, Vayavdel Elokim. God divides, separates. He makes yachatz between the light and darkness. He makes yachatz between the sky and the earth. He makes yachatz between the dry land and the ocean. He makes yachatz between all of the species according to Lemineu from the vegetation. He makes yachatz between the animals and the crawling things. And by the way, it is well known today, the origin of this awful coronavirus was when a DNA of a snake or a pig was mixed with the DNA of a bat. So we know very well today how important the idea of Maisa Bereshis was, the holy act of Maisa Bereshis by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by making yachatz and dividing these things. And what can happen if we don't make the proper yachatz? But Bereshis was all consecutive acts of yachatz, of Havdalah. Bereshis was a yachatz moment. Man was divided from the rest of the world. And what does that mean? How are we different? How is man divided? What is the definition at Maisa Bereshis in the Genesis of man? That man was created B'Tselem Elokim. Man was created in the image of God. What is the image of God? Now, if someone would come from Mars and you'd hand him a Chumash and he'd open up Parshas Bereshis and read the creation, he'd know two things about God. He'd know two things about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? God creates and God divides. He creates and he makes Havdalah. He creates and he makes yachatz. That's what God is, kaviyachol. So if man was created in the image of God, man, among many other things, with free choice, of course, we make Abdullah with free choice, that man is B'Tselem Elokim, that man has the ability to create, and he has the ability to divide, to make yachatz, right? And in fact, the Torah tells us that man at his most godly moment, is when he performs yachatz, when he utilizes the ability to make havdalah, to make distinctions in his life. Great yachatz moments that we have to make. Okay, let me go to two other yachatz moments. Number 16 on the sheet, in Parshas Lech Lecha, a great yachatz moment, the Bris Bein HaBesorim, the covenant of, can't hear you, the pieces, the covenant of the pieces, the Bris Bein HaBesorim. Kodesh Baruch Hu makes a covenant with Avram Avinu, where he asked them to sacrifice animals and break them, mamash, vayivatero tam batavach, to break them precisely in the middle, to break these animals. And then he puts Moshe to sleep, and in a vision, he gives him the bris ben habesorim, which is what the covenant, this great covenant, this covenantal relationship, this bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes with Avraham Avinu, is about the next crucial 400 years of Jewish history, which really set the tone for all of Jewish history. From the birth of we count the 400 years of Egypt from Yitzchak, right? Because we include the loneliness of Yitzchak not having a permanent home. Going through Yaakov Avinu, the years of suffering with Lavan, and Mitzrayim, the slavery in Egypt, the Exodus, coming into Eretz Yisrael. Those 400 years, the preamble to those 400 years was a yachatz, the bris ben habesorim, the covenant of the pieces. Dafka with a yachatz moment, we began what eventually will bring us in to Arzenu Akdosha, into Eretz Yisrael. The next yachatz moment is the bris at Mount Sinai. This is number 17, if you have the sheet. V'yichtav Moshe et kol divrei Hashem v'yashkem baboker v'yivin mizbeach tachat ha'har. He built an altar, tachat ha'har, under Mount Sinai. This is just before the Torah. This is a preamble. Before he spent 40 days receiving the Torah, tachat ha'har, remember that phrase, at that place, under the mountain. What did he do? He put up 12 matzevos, representing the 12 different tribes of the Jewish people. And then he asked the Narei B'nai Yisrael, the firstborn, to offer karbonis. And he took the karbonis, he took the dam, the blood from the karbonis. Part of the blood, he put in aganot, he put in pans and trays. And the other half, he sprinkled on the Mizbeach. Half of the blood was sprinkled on the Jewish people. And half of the blood was sprinkled on the altar. Yachatz moment. And interesting, Rashi says, Vayikach Moshe et Adam, he took the blood, Michalko, who divided into half? Malach bo v'chalko, an angel divided. Yes, you know, Rav Huttner asks a question, what do you need an angel to divide the blood into two? Rav Huttner says, because to divide between the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyochel, and Klal Yisrael, to make it exactly 50-50, that requires divine intervention. Precise, the precision of 50-50, says Rav Huttner, could only be done through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was the divine yachatz, the bris, the covenant of Mount Sinai, in the preparatory moment of receiving the Torah at Mount Sinai was with a yachatz moment. Okay. Now, then you look at 19, the out of Egypt. Out of Egypt, the bris of leaving Egypt and preparing to receive the Torah also included a great moment. If you look at the Balei HaTosfos in 19, over the page, if you have the sheets, then why do we break the matzah? Says the Balei HaTosfos, Zecher l'kriyat Yamsuf, in memory of the splitting of the sea. Another great yachatz moment, a preamble to receiving the Torah. Okay? Now, when just want to move on here. I'm sorry. There's a very strange phenomenon going on here. We have to ask ourselves, why is it that we have this yachatz moment? Why do we break when we want to make a bigger, closer relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Right? Very strange phenomenon. We have to ask the question. All of these covenantal relationships, we create a stronger relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're coming close to him. So we come together through an act of yachatz, separation. What's that all about? How do we separate in order to come together, right? Let me compound the question. Number 21, and I'll just say, I won't do the whole thing, but inside, but it's a medrash that one of the great rabbis in the Talmud, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Simon, tells us a story about one of the great chachamim, that he has a conversation, Rav Yossi Bar Chalafta has a conversation with a Roman matron, and she starts discussing philosophy with him. You know, How long did it take your God to create the world? 6 days. What did he do after he created the world? What's he doing now? He's very busy making shidduchim. What's he doing now? Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshevu Mezaveg Zivugim. He's making shidduchim. Bito Shaploni Laploni, the daughter of so-and-so to someone else. Ishno Shaploni Laploni, the widow of so-and-so to somebody else. Right? So she says to him, what are you talking about? That's what he's doing. That's the greatness of your God. You know, listen here. Afani Yechol Lasot, I can do this. Kama Avodim, Kama Shvachos Yeshli, I have so many slaves, right? I could make hundreds of shidduchim in a matter of moments. Says Rav Yossi Bar Chalafta, Amrullah, and this part of the Medrash I'm sure everyone is familiar with. That's what you can do maybe, but for God, Kasha hi lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kasha zivugon shel Adam HaKadosh Baruch Hu kekriyas yamsu. Making shidduchim is as difficult for HaKadosh Baruch Hu as splitting the sea. Now, this is something that many of us can relate to as parents, as grandparents. We know the challenge of shidduchim, that we should create the proper relationship between husband and wife. But what's going on here? Why does the Medrash say Kasha Zivugan Shaladim Kakriyas Yamsu? Making shidduchim, bringing two people together, is as difficult as splitting the sea. Say that bringing two people together is as difficult as grafting two divergent fruits on a tree, right? But what is this all about? How do we understand this, right? How do we understand this? I think the answer is really what we've been saying to a certain extent. Creating a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a distinctive relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a unique relationship as the Ama Nifchar, means that we separate ourselves from the rest of the world. Philosophically, we have the Torah, that have a relationship with Klal Yisrael, with the Ribbono Shel Olam, means that we have to separate ourselves from the ideas of the rest of the world. We come close to God, we separate ourselves from ungodly ideas. We have to make a yachatz in order to come close to God. What happens when a chosen and kala get married? Their relationship is with each other. Their relationship is apart from everybody else. Of course they have to engage in the rest of the world. Of course it's necessary to be part of the rest of the world, but that's why the brachas of the chuppah are divided into two. The brachas erusin are about the relationship between chosen and kala. The sheva brachas are about how they relate to the rest of the world. But the relationship, the unique relationship of chosen and kala, has to be where they separate themselves and they make their own special relationship. Now, I just want to pause for a moment. I must pause for a moment to say that we have sadly been witness to a distortion of this view, of this idea, in the last few days and the last few weeks. The removal from this concept of Am Nivchar, of the chosen people, separated from everyone else, as being removed from reality. There are limits to this special relationship that we have with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We are different, but we're not immune to the rest of the world. We're not exempt from participating and contributing to the world at large. We're distinct, yes, but we are of this world, not above it. Too many of us have taken this notion to a ridiculous notion of Am HaNivchar, the chosen people, to a ridiculous and dangerous conclusion. Too many of us have taken this too far, and we are now tragically paying the price for it right now. Distortion of the view of the Am HaNivchar, the chosen people, that we are invincible, is a distortion. But now, back to our idea that the yachatz, that every great moment of coming together has to have a preamble of separation. We separate from the other in order to come together with our significant other, be it kaviyochel the Ribbono Shel Olam, a husband and a wife, part of Klal Yisrael, Kol Yisrael, Arevim Zeh B'Zeh, etc. Let's go to one more coming together, one more great moment of covenant, of coming, of Yachatz moment. We have, actually I skipped it before, it's number 17, is the moment of Tachas Ahar when we receive the Torah, the Bris of Sinai. But what happened? What happened to the covenant at Sinai? What happened to that great Bris, that coming together that was made through a Yachatz, right? We broke it. We broke it. We made a golden calf. We made an Egel Azav. So what happens? Moshe Rabbeinu sees a crisis. He sees a crisis, and he wants to restore that crisis. How does he restore the crisis? How does he restore the bris of the Jewish people? Well, first of all, if you look at 22, what is his reaction to the crisis? He saw an opportunity, and he had to restore that bris at any cost. So what does he do? Vayikasher karav lamachane, he sees the comes to close. Vayaris ha'egel, he saw the golden calf. Vayishlach miado et haluchos, vayishaber otam v'tachas ahar. And he broke the luchos, tachas ahar. Tachas ahar, he broke him in the exact same place where the bris, the original bris was made. This was a calculated move on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu. This yachatz of breaking the luchos was a moment, Moshe's brilliance, if we can really even speak about Moshe Rabbeinu that way. But Moshe broke the luchos at the very place that they were given to us. He made a yachatz moment. So he was hoping that by breaking the luchos, he would get our attention, right? As I mentioned earlier, he got our attention. He got our attention by breaking the luchos. Everyone who had built the golden calf, he got our attention and he broke the luchos and he made a bris. Now, what did he do at this point? He understood. He understood what he had to do at this moment. That calculated. He shocked Klal Yisrael to the fact that we have to recalibrate our lives, and it worked. Now, if you go over the page to number 20, time does not permit me to go through the dialogue that Moshe Rabbeinu conducts with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this moment, trying to get forgiveness, which he eventually gets for Klal Yisrael. But he tells God, every time the Ribbono Shel Olam agrees and acquiesces to what Moshe Rabbeinu asks for, he asks for more. Until eventually, we have in number 22, Vayikasher Karav Alamach, sorry, 24, that Moshe Rabbeinu is told by God, okay, I'm going to reestablish the bris. The bris that you brought about through your yachatz moment now ends with a new bris, a new covenant. I'm going to make niflaot, I'm going to give you a bris you never had before. Now, it's important, it's not on the sheet, but niflaot here is not miracles. Rashi translates niflaot as we did on our sheet here, that I'm going to make you a new covenant with distinctions. Niflaot, Rashi says, is havdal mavdilim, havdalot, yachatzes. I'm going to distinguish you. Can't be referring to miracles because the later miracles were not as big as the earlier miracles, but the distinctions will be greater. I'm going to make more yachatz between you and the rest of the world. That's what's going on here. And in fact, the Sipurno wants to point out the quality of this new bris, this new yachas moment, that he says when the Jewish people were exiled to Babylonia, the presence of God was with them and accompanied them by Elam, by Edom. In other words, the Gaulas of Spain, when we were in Gaulas in Spain, the Shekhinah was with us. When we were in France, in Turkey, Gaulas was with us, the Shekhinah was with us. In France, the Shekhinah was with us. In Auschwitz, the Shekhinah was with us. We returned to Eretz Israel, and of course, the Shekhinah is with us. And the final source on the sheet, the final yachatz. How this final yachatz, which really, this yachatz that Moshe Rabbeinu in his godliness and his greatness, Moshe Rabbeinu, broke the luchos as a preamble to the covenant that we are still living with today. What does God tell him? Yasher Koach, the end of the Torah. Yasher Koach, Hiskimu Das HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ledato. And he said to him, Yasher Kochacha Shashibartu, Yasher Koyach Moshe, that that you broke the luchos. You understood what had to be done. You had to bring about this great yachatz moment to get the attention of Klal Yisrael so that we could live in a new moment. Hiding the bigger piece, because very simply hiding the bigger piece, because the bris is not about what happened and what happened to us in the past. It's about building a future, which is endless, endless possibilities, the endless possibilities. And the Rambam says that we all do yachatz. All of us are picking up the pieces. We're all picking up the pieces of the Torah, the little scraps that are left. We have to pick up those scraps. Time doesn't permit me to. I wanted to say something else, but let me actually conclude. Let me conclude. We are living in a moment, a yachatz moment. We're living through right now a yachatz moment, a broken moment. And we are living in a moment with a viral yachatz moment, where we're struggling at Pesach to balance the tension of the two definitions of matzah, the lechem oni, the sadness, the anxiety, versus the lechem sha'onim alav dvorim, speaking out shevach v'hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the triumph, the praise, the goodness of what he gives us. And we're struggling with that. But you know what? This is nothing new to the Jewish people. I want to tell you, a fellow by the name of John Kenneth Galbraith, who was a great academic, Canadian academic, in fact, and he said that the mark of a true philosopher is someone who can hold to two polar opposite philosophical ideas and can defend them both and live comfortably with both of them. Now, Chochma Bagoyim Tami. What do I mean that? Because the Holy Chazon Ish, in a letter, wrote the following. One of the chief components of prophecy, the Rambam brings the halacha from the Gemara, is that the prophet, in order to receive nevuah, has to be besimcha. He has to be happy. Otherwise, he does not receive the word of Hashem. He doesn't receive prophecy. That means, writes the Chazon Ish, that when Yirmiyahu Hanavi, when Jeremiah wrote Echa, Lamentations, about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, he was besimcha. Says the Chazon Ish that it is possible for a Jew to hold on to two diametrically opposed emotions at the same time and survive. This is how we have survived throughout Jewish history. And this is how we are going to survive now, because we have two conflicting ideas running through our lives right now. But we have to understand that the yachatz moment that we're living through is a preamble to better times. Been that way from Bereshis, from the creation of the world, through everything we've lived through, unto this moment. The yachatz that we're living through is a moment which is going to bring about a greater moment. I have a granddaughter who's married for 1 year. And she told her father, I don't know, did I say this? I said it, I'm not going to repeat it. Let me end. I'm going to end. We always end with our grandchildren. I'm sorry for the repetition. But at the end of the Seder, and this is the end, the end of the Seder, we say the Shana Haba B'Yerushalayim. What's that all about? Because the most profound national universal yachatz was the yachatz of the temple, the Churban Beis HaMikdash, when the yachatz was broken apart. But we pray that L'Shana Haba B'Yerushalayim, L'Shana Hazeh B'Yerushalayim, when we'll see the restored Beis HaMikdash, very soon, and our learning and our mitzvahs and our simchas achayim and our accepting and embracing HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring that about. Chag kosher v'sameach, a happy and a kosher Pesach, and everybody, please be safe.